Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I'm so glad you guys are tuning into this episode. Whatever it is that you're dealing with today specifically or going through at the moment, I just hope that your takeaway from this episode is going to give you what you need. Is it hope, inspiration, validation, some tips on how to treat this or detox more affordable? Whatever it is that you need today, I hope that that's what you get from this episode. And if you want to continue to help me share my voice and our voice in the community, please go into the about of this podcast, scroll to the bottom, click on that donation link. Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. And my guest today is, he's got quite the journey for sure. I know that he was, you know, he was a big hockey fan, and from the sounds of it, he was really, really good at it. And, you know, then Lyme kind of dove in and took over. And so he's really had to deal with a lot of the, you know, like I say, kind of grieving the old us, right? The old life that we lived. And so a lot of emotional things along his journey. So I'm super excited to have him and have him share his journey with us. So thanks so much, Julian, for joining me, and I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
All right. So where are we going to start? We all might want to hear about your hockey story, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, hence the...
But wherever it may start.
Hence the no teeth action.
That's a typical thing, right, with hockey, I hear.
Yeah, of course. Everyone's like, you're a hockey player. Oh, how'd you know? Well, I mean, you have no teeth. I'm like, yeah, that's a pretty good guess. So, yeah, I mean, hockey was, you know, my whole life from, you know, 3 years old, skating and... you know, playing already, you know, house league at five, and then already escalated to playing higher level hockey at age nine. So, you know, from that point on, it kind of just takes over your life, right? You're passionate about it. You start, you know, thinking about hockey, you know, 24/7, you sleep, breathe and eat hockey pretty much as a kid, right? Yeah. But then as, you know, obviously as you grow older, it becomes your job. Like this is your, you know, this is your career, right? This is where you, you know, you've put, you know, 15 years into your life training and playing and, you know, and you, it changes your life, right? Because now you have to move away from home, right? Now you're in different environments. Now you're playing against top people, you know, obviously in North America, playing in, you know, one of the highest leagues at the time. So, you know, with that comes a lot of stress, obviously, right? Because, you know, just like any job, there's pressure, there's, you know, other people, you know, fighting for a spot, battling for a spot. So
it's not just I have a career and I get to have fun doing it, right? Like all the real life stressors come into play, right? Because you gotta be competitive and you gotta be better than the next guy so that you can get the spot. And yeah, I'm sure a lot of pressure for sure.
Yeah. So that's the difference from being like a kid playing hockey when you're younger to, hey, like now, you know, now you're in kind of in the big leagues. And now like when the second you wake up, it's, you know, what you're putting into your body, how are you doing for, you know, training and prepping for practice? Are you, you know, are you properly warming up? Are you properly cooling down? Are you staying after practice to do video sessions? So, you know, like these are 24/7 jobs, not just like you presently being at the rink, but what you're doing outside of the rink from a mental, emotional and recovery aspect, right? And that's a huge difference, right? So and then the pressure in that is immense, right? But I'm sure, of course, we love what you do, right? Just like any job we're in, we do what we love, right? So then there was a breaking point for me, right, where I just, you know, one day just kind of one morning just woke up and, you know, symptoms magically started, right? I mean, in my case, mine was more like the neurological stuff, more like the heart palpitations, the, you know, this anxiety kind of out of nowhere, this depression and mood swings. And, you know, it escalated even at the time I was playing. But, you know, being a pro hockey player, you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to push through it. Just like, hey, this last set in the workout or this last sprint, you're going to do it no matter how fatigued you are or how much your muscles are shaking. You're just going to keep pushing through, right?
So it just all kind of just came on one day. You woke up.
Yeah, and one day just woke up and thought.
Did you think, gosh, I had a rough game, I guess, because boy, I'm paying for it today. Like, what kind of thoughts went through your head?
It was more like the fear aspect, because, like, you know, having heart palpitations at, you know, 22 years old is, you know, not the norm, right? So then, you know, as days went by, it was just like, okay, this, like, I'm still feeling this. And obviously the anxiety builds, right? You should get fearful of going out, or something's going to happen to you. Do I have to go to the hospital? So, you know, from then I'm like, okay, I should probably just go get a check just to be sure, type of thing, obviously. So, you know, at that point they say, okay, your heart rate's really low, you know, go to a cardiologist, right? Okay. So do all, like, the, you know, the Holter scans and the cardio stress testing and all that, right? And they just said, okay, like, you're an athlete, like, you have a low resting heart rate, it skips from time to time, keep moving on, right? I said, okay, no problem. So I kept battling that year, and then, you know, year after year from 22, like, more symptoms started to add slowly, right? Now I started getting, like, you know, chronic constipation, or like really high anxiety and really crazy depression, kind of flipping from back and forth, right? You know, and I was at school at this time because, you know, I played hockey and then got a scholarship and, you know, went to play hockey at a Canadian university school. And, you know, I'm just like, okay, maybe I'm just juggling, you know, being a student athlete, playing hockey, school, you know, obviously stuff at home, you got to make your own food and, you know, obviously do your own laundry and all that stuff. Maybe it's just too much, right?
And, so, and the cardiologist says you're fine, right? So the
cardiologist says I'm fine. Yeah. So obviously their next step, you know, from the physician side, it's like, hey, go see a, you know, a psychotherapist. And at that time I'm like, fine, if it's going to benefit me, I'll do it, right? Do anything it takes to kind of, you know, be better, just like in sports, right? You train or stretch or do something else that's going to make you better. Yeah. So explore the route of seeing, you know, a psychotherapist. And at that time I didn't know anything about, you know, nutrition as much, even being a hockey player, because they don't really teach you. So they start talking about taking, you know, prescriptions like anti-anxiety, low doses of it. And I'm like, okay, kind of agreed to the whole situation. Fine. Took it, you know, felt good. Obviously it worked. But then still had these symptoms, like still these heart palpitations, still like this, like, chronic digestive issue piece going on. Fine. But I was just trekking away, right? Then once kind of like at the end of the university hit, I started getting more of these neurological sensations. So more of this, you know, vision stuff, blurry vision, like twitching and buzzing sensations. And I'm like, oh, that's really weird. Like, that's kind of not normal, right? Yeah. So I was like spinning for like 6 months, and they're like, okay, I think we should do an MRI of your head now. I said, okay, if it's going to benefit me, because obviously I shouldn't, you know, be seen and spinning all the time, especially as an athlete being on the ice. Yeah. So, you know, after 6 months, finally got an MRI. Everything's normal. Everything's okay. We'll send you to a neurologist now. I said, okay. So went to the neurologist, did all their, you know, whatever they do, their stimulation testing, checked like the spinal cord and all that. They said, everything is normal. I said, okay. But I still feel these symptoms, like these neurological sensations, these spinning sensations, these, you know, my hands are twitching, my calves are twitching. He's just like, well, everything's normal. I think you're just overworked from, you know, playing hockey, you know, throughout the course of your life. And you've had some, you know, potential damages from hit along the spine that's causing these sensations. I said, okay, fine. But just always in the back of my head, like, this, it's not normal for, you know, now I'm 20.
You know your body, you know?
And yeah.
Yeah, you work hard, but you're also in your early 20s. Like, all these crazy things aren't supposed to happen.
Yeah. So then that's, you know, now I'm kind of getting to like graduation point. So I'm at, you know, around 26 years old, graduate, you know, still like being a very highly active person, like love working out, going to the gym every day a week. So then I just started working after school. I was in the construction industry. So like, you know, you work long days. And then I was still into like the whole workout scene. So I ended up becoming a personal trainer. So I'd work construction, you know, 10 hours a day and then go train clients at, you know, nighttime. So I did that for like a year or so. And then there was just like a breaking point, right? Where it was just like all of a sudden just went into this crazy, crazy state neurologically where, you know, you get like these depersonalization sensations and you had this like crazy, like nothing matters in life. Like you just, you're going through life and you're just like on the outside and like nothing matters. So like anything can, I felt like anything happened to me, I wouldn't even get a reaction, right? So my symptoms are actually at bay, but because of this neurological thing where you didn't care about anything and this depersonalization thing, it was like screwing mentally. So just walk into places and just almost kind of be like an outer space where it's just like, you're just like kind of like outside your body and like nothing matters. Like who cares what happens here? Who cares what happens there? Like, doesn't matter, right?
Depersonalization is, a lot of people go through that. And I think we all kind of have our own, you know, description of it or signs of it. But I mean, I know for me personally, it was, I didn't ever know if my present moment, whatever it was it real or was I having a dream? Like I really couldn't tell between the two. And so if I'd say something to somebody, I'm like, am I telling him something I had in my dream? Or like, did this really happen in real life? And then we have brain fog, right? So then I only remember half the story. I'm like, I mean, I'm sure I just sounded like a crazy person, right?
Yeah.
Lot of people deal with that. And it's in, and then the other thing too is almost like the Groundhog Day. Like it was just another day of the same thing. And is this real life? Is this a dream? Am I really living? Like almost like, you know, when they say pinch me if it's real. It's scary.
Very scary. Very like abnormal, right? Again, now I'm in my, you know, getting into my late 20s now. I'm trying to figure out obviously my life, what I'm doing and whatnot. So I going back to that time now, so that, you know, I'm like, okay, I think I just need a break. Like I'm working crazy amount of hours. Like, and then I'm training. I'm still training. Like I'm a hockey player, but I'm really kind of like a retired hockey player now. But still love to train. Like, it's like, okay, let me just pull back on like the workouts and, you know, maybe cut back on work hours. And so I did that. But I'm like, okay, this is, I'm still like, now I'm like getting fatigued, right? So the fatigue started to kick in and this motivational piece started to kick in. And it was just, it was becoming not my norm, right? So at that time I quit my job. I actually got another job, working for like another construction company, but it was just in office stuff. So no labor, no nothing. So I'm like, okay, this is probably going to be better. Like I'm not as like pushing my body physically. I have more time to like go to the gym and whatnot. About 8 months in, I had to like take short-term leave because, you know, the construction sites, like all the fumes and digging, because it was like building high rises, right? So, you know, digging down, lots of gases, lots of VOCs, started getting even more neurological sensations, right? So I'm like, okay, I need to figure this out because, you know, if I don't, it'd be worse in the long term, right? So during that time, I started exploring like the naturopathic route because I've exhausted, you know, neurologists, cardiologists, rheumatologists, different GPs.
You had all the gaslighting you needed, right?
I had it all.
Time to move on.
Yeah. Time to move on. But even during those times, I've had like naturopaths here and there. So like, you know, even them couldn't really, you know, figure it out. Like, hey, it's just a stomach bug, or, you know, maybe you just need to like work on detox, or there's, you know, bacterial overgrowth. I said, sure, okay, let's just do the protocols and see what kind of comes from it, right? So I, you know, did extensive protocols, you know, naturopathic medicine, which is great, right? Loved it. Didn't see any significant improvements. So I'm like, what's going on? So then my last naturopath I went to, I'm like, okay, I'm going to make it a point. I'm just going to like document like what I eat, my symptoms at every time, and go to him and just show him, just so I'm ready, I'm presented with everything, and just lay it all out. Right. So I did that. So 2 weeks, kind of like just jotted down, you know, the symptoms I was having, what time of the day, what I ate, sent it to him. So he looks at this list and he gets a stencil. And he puts a stencil over like this, you know, kind of paper, and he's checking off all the boxes. And he kind of looks at me and he's like, "Have you ever been tested for Lyme disease?" I said, "No, I don't even know what that is." And he's like, "Okay, I suspect you have XYZ going on, like bacteria. We'll just do some, you know, gastrointestinal healing and kill some bad guys with garlic and whatnot." I'm like, "Okay, cool."
Well, so, I'm going to pause you for just a second, go for it. Just for the listeners, because you're charting, you're journaling, right? Keeping track, having a track of thing that's going on. It is can really play a huge role in getting a diagnosis, right? Trying to find the right protocol, what's working, what's not working. So that worked great in your case. And I think it's huge. It's a great tool to use for sure.
Yeah. It helped a lot. Obviously pushed me in that direction. So he's like, "I think you should test for it." I said, "Okay, let's just wait till we do your protocols. And then, you know, if I decide to do it, okay, great." So, you know, after around 6 weeks, went back, and no improvement really, but I wasn't declining, which was great. Felt better because, you know, you're gluten-free, dairy-free, you're following the dietary restrictions, sure. But I'm like, okay, like I need to rule things in and out at this time. So I'm like, okay, let's just do the tests, right? So I still had no education on like Lyme testing, where it's going and whatnot. All I remember was at that point, it's like, hey, Armin Labs, which is obviously the German labs that he tested. So went to the blood draw place, did the test, got the test results back. My follow-up appointment I go to, he's like, "Yeah, you're positive." He's like, "I can't help you anymore. You got to go somewhere else, right?" I said, "Okay, well, where do I go?" So in Canada, there's not much, right? Not many practitioners or not many people know about it. You know, I'm from just outside Toronto. So there was, you know, a couple clinics downtown, you know, that kind of specialize in more of this functional, you know, integrative approach, right? So like fair. So, you know, had a request to apply to there. I sent them my test results, kind of bypassed to get you know, into the clinic. Fine. So I'll move along, going to this new clinic. They wanted to do more Armin testing, test the co-infections, right? Test for mold toxicity, do a comprehensive blood panel with hormones, do a Zeebo breath test. I said, at this point, I don't care. I just want to feel better. Like, whatever it is, whatever the cost is, just give it to me, right? So fast forward then, 4 weeks later, get all these test results back. And like, now it was like the whole shebang kind of came out, right? So, you know, at that point I had an integrative doctor. So basically diagnosed with like multi-system or multi-complex disease syndrome, which basically you have multiple infections, multiple like, you know, hormonal issues. Had mold toxicity, high orca toxin. I had methane dominant SIBO, and I had candida and yeast overgrowth. Like, whoa, like that's
you're
that's
an overachiever, right? Let's I'll have it all.
Yeah, which, like, go which, great.
By the way, I'm a firm believer, and I love muscle testing, but I do trust two labs, and one is Igenix in Palo Alto, California. And then the other one is the one that you mentioned. And I just wanted to bring that up, the Armin Labs in Augsburg, Germany. I actually met the founder. I can't say his last name, so I call him Dr. Armin. But he came, I hosted a medical seminar and had Lyme doctors speak at the seminar. Oh my gosh, probably 7-8 years ago, and he flew into California to be one of our speakers. So I got to meet him. That was a lot of fun. And he's been on my podcast in the past too. Great, great guy. And yes, those are the two labs, Igenix and Armin Labs. I think they're both fantastic and very accurate.
Yeah.
So little did we know at the time that they're not very accurate, right?
Of course. Yeah, of course. So we did, you know, mostly did like a lot of the LA spot testing, right? Testing for, you know, obviously testing all of it first, like, you know, your Borrelia, your Bartonella, your Babesia, and then sure, mycoplasma, ariculosis, if needed in those cases. So once I did the second arm in labs, you know, I had, my highest was always been Bartonella, which, you know, makes sense. Neurological issues, Bartonella, right? It's kind of a hallmark there. So it's like, okay, well, now what? Like in my head, like, what do we do? So I remember at that time, I was actually following a lot of like the whole medical medium style, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like the heavy metal detox, the celery juicing, kind of like, you know, being vegan too, right? Just trying to go along his path. And then so the doctor asked me, it's like, well, do you want to do antibiotics or do you want to do a herbal approach? You know, from doing the medical medium stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm going to take the herbal approach because I think it's, you know, better. I don't want to take antibiotics. Sure. Right. He's like, okay, fine. We have the naturopath here. We'll work alongside and we'll kind of, you know, treat and provide additional pharmaceuticals when needed, et cetera. I'm like, okay, fine. So, you know, I remember getting this first protocol. And it was like 2 pages of like supplements to take, like take all these tinctures, you know, this is for SIBO, this is for mold, this is for Lyme, this is for Bartonella.
Take this 10 times a day, 2 hours apart, and don't forget this. And yeah, as much water as we have to swallow to take pills and all these things. It's like,
right?
We have no food. We have no room in our body for food. We're full.
Yeah, it was crazy. So I remember this being in April and they're like, hey, by October, you should be feeling better. I said, okay, like, fine. I'll do it. Like, again, still a hockey player, like, no problem, right? So October hit, I'm just like slowly getting worse and worse and worse. I'm like, what's going on? Like, I don't understand why I'm feeling so ill still. So I remember at that time, they recommended me to go see an environmental specialist, right? Cause, we got a mycotoxin test back that was like really elevated orca toxin. So he's like, I think you're either living in mold or you're exposed to it at some point, right? So, you know, knowing me, like, gotta find if I'm in it. You know, ended up, you know, I was living at my parents' house at the time, you know, brought in a building biologist. He did testing and found like the whole basement was covered in black mold, right? There's a huge water leak from upstairs. Fine. At that time I had left. I actually went to treatment in Florida at the time while they did the remediation in the basement. So when I came back home, I wasn't exposed to mold again, right? Okay, went to treatment in the States, more of like a natural healing IV therapy, you know, the Beamer mats and psychotherapy. Did that for 6 weeks, came back and no improvement, right? So now my mind started going crazy because, you know, I was on short-term leave and then they denied me long-term disability because Lyme disease is not considered a long-term disability. So I was cut off and then coming back home because, you know, it costs to do treatments in the States.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh my God, like I took people's money and I don't feel any better. Right.
Yeah.
So like coming home, I had to fake being well, which I really was not. So, you know, 4 months coming back home, I'm again, a breaking point. I'm like, I can't, like something's still not right. You know, I'm still feeling terrible at the time. Lost my job, you know, lost relationships, you know, kind of like the whole world just started to collapse even more. Right. But good on me being positive. I'm like, well, you know, I got to do something. I can't just mope around, stay home and, you know,
roll over and die. Yeah.
Roll over and die. Right.
Yeah.
So when
you went into the States after you discovered that you were living in mold, I'm assuming they treated you for mold when you were in the States?
They didn't treat me. I mean, they tested, but like they did a lot of just detox. Right. Basically they just tested, you do a lot of comprehensive labs and then they tweak your IVs according to, their labs, and then they and then they retest like when you leave and go home type of thing. And then, you know, you're kind of on their maintenance types of protocol, like gut healing and stuff and whatnot. Sure. Right.
Okay. Because I know that mold and parasites are more times than not, you know, and I talk to people in the community and they're like, you know, I've been treating for 6 months, a year, 2 years, I'm not getting any better. I'm like, you got to look at mold or parasites. Like, it just always seems to be one of those, right? I mean, of course, we fix the terrain, but if you're living in mold, right, like it can be a big thing. So
I think the parasites play a massive role, I think.
Yeah.
It's because like the environment is making them like thrive, right? Like mold is just like this other trigger layer, and then you get into the whole mast cell and, you know, talk about all the histamine and all these crazy cellular like SIRS and, you know, chronic inflammatory response syndrome, right? So yeah, I came home, and then at that time I'm like, I gotta go back to school. So I went back to school to be a holistic nutritionist. So started learning, you know, from the holistic way, you know, diets and, you know, Ayurvedic treatments and, you know, treating just basic like autoimmune conditions and learning more and more and more. And then obviously me in the background still, you know, heavily diving deep into the Lyme research, into the mold toxicity. And at the time, you know, Nathan became one of my mentors, or learned a lot off of him and his books, right? So that kind of set the stage too for me from a learning. So I was in school, but also doing like these mentorships with like, you know, these functional medicine doctors and whatnot, right? So
becoming your own advocate.
Like, yeah, basically. Like
they
right?
want me to roll over and die. No, I need to figure out what's wrong with me and how to get well.
Basically, yeah. And then, you know, I started feeling better. So I started incorporating, you know, different dietary regimes. So like, you know, I explored the whole realm of carnivore diet, and that kind of pushed me to the next level. Like that help me personally, you know, actually get out of a funk, gain energy, gain strength, start going to the gym, start getting a part-time job, getting a full-time job, you know. And this was in like a year, matter of a year, right? So, you know, it escalated pretty quickly at that point. But then again, you plateau. Okay, there's still obviously symptoms lingering, sure. I did find a naturopath too, to have kind of by my side in case I needed, you know, different treatment options, whether it's compounded medicine, right? So I never neglected all that, right? I wanted just resources to kind of, hey, where can I go get additional support, right? Or where can I get more educated with, right? So I had a naturopath on my side and just continued to go through school, right? And even now, you know, coming to the end of school, got into more of like the functional medicine courses, started doing, you know, courses and mentorships in functional medicine, started doing a lot of testing on myself, right? Started identifying other areas other than Lyme that needed different attention, right? Yeah. So once I started to kind of shift my focus, it's like, okay, we're looking at this one bug here, but like, you know, that one bug is changing your terrain to be more hostile to, you know, environmental toxicants, chemicals, and how they hinder the liver function, and then hinder your own biochemistry to trigger your predispositions, right? You know, the whole terrain theory, right?
And I think that's huge to mention, because myself, but so many others, right? So we get bit by a tick. You know, I had the bullseye rash, but I didn't know what it meant. But many people get infected and they are symptom free. They don't even know they have Lyme. So what happens is something in your terrain got stressed or broke down, and so it allowed the Lyme pathogen to run rampant through your body. So it makes sense, right? You've got to fix the foundation if you want the other things to miraculously, or whatever you want to call it, to be able to go away, to be able to treat them and actually get rid of them. You have to have a good base. And that's the perfect scenario, what you just said, because many of us, you know, it lays dormant for years. And so we did something to mess our terrain up for it to take over our body.
Yeah. And I think like the whole, you know, bringing in energy medicine too, like the whole muscle testing, looking at those avenues too, you know, it signifies stuff too, right? It identifies, you know, more data, right? So I've been eventually I'm bringing in more of the energy. So I'm trying to pair the functional with the energy approach into one. Right now I've been heavily diving into the holistic and functional approach, which is, you know, I'm basically people's detective, right? Trying to figure, okay, is there Lyme player, like you have, you know, MS, right? You know, mm-hmm. flags go off in my head right away, like chronic stealth infections being like number one, okay, mold toxicity can be there. But, you know, looking at the terrain, like how do you build strength in someone's terrain in order to even combat these things that have flourished, right? It's not just like, hey, like we're going on, you know, Bartonella treatment tomorrow. Most people are not going to do well, right? Just starting a protocol like that, right? So that's what I found in the last, even in the last year, it's like, you know, the way I even approach things from even, hey, someone comes to me with like positive arm and labs and like, okay, great. It doesn't mean we just start doing like, you know, Nutramedics and all these brands that are like, they're going to topple you over, right? Because you have no strength to even to combat these things, and they're flourishing because of, you know, your host. Your host is so weak, and it's now it's created this environment that just now these labs look so dysfunctional from a functional side. So how do we kind of build strength to even tackle those, to restore that balance? And then the muscle testing was interesting because, you know, I just didn't go one person. I could explore avenues to see, okay, do they actually get kind of the same, you know, readings, right? Yeah. And it was crazy because it's like, well, everyone said around age 10 to 12, say, like, hey, you know, at that age, you got bit by a tick, but you're fine. You're playing hockey. Then you've had some traumas in your life, right? And then, you know, what set the stage too was, you know, when the whole vaccines came out and the whole spike protein, you know, issues came out, that even triggered even more. So like triggered more parasitic activity, right? So it's like, what's highest on someone's totem pole that's causing their immune system to be so dysfunctional that needs to be addressed first? And most often, I shouldn't say most often, but you know, it's not just Lyme always. Like Lyme can be like way down on the totem pole that you need to address for your immune system to actually increase. So sometimes, yeah, mold toxicity, parasitic activity, and now we see a lot of like the whole spike protein action because it causes so much neurological issues, which puts us into this, you know, stressful state, which just keeps triggering these issues to happen, right? So it's like, how do you control and strengthen, you know, the autonomic nervous system, the central nervous system? How do you properly drain and detox? Do you need those mechanisms of action to even get into like these kill phases, right?
Yeah, no, and that's so important because, you know, people get frustrated when we finally get our Lyme diagnosis, right? Okay, let's kill, 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 kill. And when people will reach out to me and say, well, yeah, you know, I found this doctor, but they're not going to focus on killing my Lyme. They want to do, you know, build my health, my gut health and this and that. I'm like, that sounds like a fantastic doctor, right?
That's the right way to do it now, right?
Yeah. And, but I get that it's frustrating for, you know, people that just want to kill because they don't understand, you know, how our bodies work. And we learn all these things along our journey, right? Because I wouldn't have known before.
No, I mean, and, you know, myself included, right? It's like, you know, you just want to kill things to get rid of things, right? But it's, you don't want to kill everything. Like we have an ecosystem full of good and bad, mm-hmm. right? It's just the bad is disrupted because of this whole terrain theory, right? What's causing your immune system to actually be, you know, dysfunctional. And then you layer in the whole trauma component and then, you know, all pretty much like 99% of cases of autoimmune disease have trauma in it, but you know, people are not really thinking like of a traumatic event.
Connecting the dots, yeah.
Right, and they store in tissue, they store in your liver, they store in your kidneys, and you know, you throw in the whole dental health, the root canals, like that's holistic medicine too. You got to understand this individual from, you know, a traumatic standpoint, from injuries to mouth work, to lifestyle, to, you know, even from the mother.
Many things to factor in. Yeah. And I do, I think it's an emotional journey for sure. And a lot of us, you know, have that blocked emotional trauma. and they may not know it, you know, and sometimes when you bring it up to someone, they're like, no, you know, I had a great childhood. You know, I didn't have any problems. I wasn't abused. I wasn't, you know, all the typical stuff that we think of. But that's not exactly what could be affecting you. I mean, you could have had, your mother could have had a rough birth with you, right? And you got stuck in the canal and they had to use force. Like, so many of those things can get stuck in our body and we don't even know about it. So It's definitely something that needs to be looked at and addressed. And I believe wholeheartedly, it's not just killing Lyme. It's not detoxing. It's not killing the co-infections. It's fixing that terrain, working through the emotional part, releasing that stored trauma from the past. It's all of it combined is what's going to build a healthy foundation and is what's overall going to get you well.
Exactly. Just like with, you know, mold toxicity, why is four people in the house fine and one person severely sick? Right.
It's like, sure, mold
is toxic, but like, you know, our bodies are built to be in specific environments with chemicals, VOCs and whatnot without creating an immune reaction, because our body knows how to properly detox. You know, it's, you know, the liver is functioning better. The nervous system is fine. Right. So I get like there's a lot of like crazy talk in like the functional space about, you know, the harmful effects of mold toxicity and all, you know, the solvents and the chemicals. And I get that, but I think, you know, being a functional medicine practitioner, it's like I don't really have to go so deep down into that, because you have to understand the whole person. If they're not tolerable to these situations, sure, it's triggering a response. But that's because the body is so weak at the same time and has so many underlying players involved too. But you really want to know what's highest on the totem pole that's really causing something to actually happen. Because once you start to get to those higher totem pole things, they're actually more tolerable in specific environments, right?
Yes. Which is seeing that,
And it goes like the limbic system. Right, the fear response, right? It's like If you fear of being in your house, that's, you know, sure, mold is bad. We can never get rid of it fully. But if someone does the work, they could be more tolerable in these environments too, without, you know, fearing, you know, skewing the limbic system. I gotta run and hide. I gotta sleep in the backyard. I gotta sleep in my car outside during the nighttime, right? That creates even more of a response, and actually, I find it creates more of an issue too, because now their body.
Yeah, I think it's all that as part of that fight or flight mode. I think that we put our bodies in, right, and we can't heal in a fight or flight mode.
Yeah. So, I mean, I use myself as an example. It's like, you know, sure, was there other environments like grocery stores that I worked in? Because I worked in, you know, health food stores that were contaminated on mold. Oh, I mean, probably. But I continue to get better. So it's like, that's where it's like the whole like environmental medicine, sure, like those are harming the system, but again, you want to build strength in the system so you can combat it to its best of its ability, right? Because we can't run and hide from everything in the world, unfortunately.
We can't be bubble people, right? We don't want to live in the bubbles. And I mean, God designed our bodies to heal themselves, right? Given the right tools and so if something is breaking your body down, if something is attacking you, it's because something is wrong at the bottom.
And your body's telling you that. It's giving you symptoms because it's like, hey, like go heal, please, because I need to, you know, get the barriers out of the way in order to restore homeostasis, right?
Yes.
So your body's actually lucky that's giving you symptoms, because some people, they don't get symptoms until like last straw, and then they're in the hospital and then that's it, right? So sometimes we're grateful for symptoms because your body says, hey, like I need symptoms to be addressed. I need to
pay attention. Their symptoms are trying to teach you something about what's going on in your body. It's not just, you know, and I'm not talking about just, you know, a random headache or a random, you know, kind of upset tummy, you know, these regular constant symptoms that we get there. It's trying to teach us, hey, you need to listen. Something's going on in your body and you need to pay attention, right? And then when we ignore it, eventually our bodies crash and burn. Yeah.
And that's like today's lifestyle, right? A lot of it's a fast paced lifestyle. I get it. People have kids and jobs and whatnot, but we need to just structure, because it doesn't take hours a day to bring healing to our own body. It can be 5 minutes of sound therapy, listening to a specific vibration, right? Or, mm-hmm. you know, what's big today? Red light therapy, right?
Yeah. Well, vibration, just started diving into, actually I have it right here. Just started diving into these little tuning fork things, right? Like it's our body's light energy vibration. Like it's our bodies are incredible, right? And there's so many tools out there to be able to utilize to help in our healing process.
Yeah. And I think people don't really recognize that either, because they think, well, especially in like chronic Lyme disease, or let's call it chronic tick-borne infections, they're so used to saying, hey, I got to get antibiotics. And like now people like in more of like the holistic world, I need all these antimicrobials, you know, to help just get rid of this, right? But it's like, that's like a sliver of the pie now, right?
Right. And a lot of times that's what happens, you know, and time again, I see these people, right? And they're sick again. It's because you didn't fix that. You have to do more than just kill. You have to do more than just kill. And yeah, more than just detox. Yeah.
I think herbs are great because they're so multifaceted. Mm-hmm. So when picking the herb accordingly to the person's predispositions, their symptomatology, sure, you have data from blood work and functional labs. Sure, the herbs work magic, right? So I guess that's where it's like, if you're, you know, working with a professional or whoever, or just trying to understand your own body. Yeah, herbs are great because it's not just killing, it's supporting your uniqueness of your own terrain. So pick the herb accordingly to like what you've been through, what your symptoms were, what, you know, if you have diagnoses of other autoimmune conditions and whatnot, right? How does it support you, right? And that's where it's like everyone's protocols should be all be different. Should never be the same, right?
Yeah, we can all have the same exact symptoms, which a lot of us do, right?
It's
either the neurological or the pain aspect of it.
Yeah,
and of course, right? Like we want to be overachievers. I had them both, but we can all have the same symptoms. But then the one treatment protocol is not going to work for everyone, and that is exactly why, because our bodies are so different.
Yeah, and I think being a practitioner, you kind of get that negative feedback. It's like, whatever you did, I want to do because I have Lyme. I'm like, well, listen, I'm not going to put you on whatever I did. I'm going to talk to you for 2 to 3 hours to try and understand, hey, yeah, you present with something today, but your whole course of life has made this happen. So I want to know that before even recommending specific herbals or beyond the herbals. Let's just start from like working on like whether it's you have like leaky gut and all that functions, right? Those are more important now than just treating the bug, because or else you're never going to be able to treat anything like that.
Exactly. Right.
So we're trying to educate, right?
Yeah,
we're trying to bring awareness, like, sure,
more tools
like
in our toolbox.
Yeah, it's not like, hey, I'm going to feel better in 6 months because, you know, I'm not treating, you know, tick-borne. I mean, you can not treat it at all and feel like 90% better. So
that is kind of
it kind of goes to true. It varies in person to person, of course, but you need foundations or else you just slip right back. You actually topple even more, right?
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So the cat's out of the bag, right, with the listeners. So this, your personal journey took you down, you know, this journey. And I love everything that you just explained to us about, you know, you being a practitioner, how you help your patients. And I love your kind of like your protocol of it, right? Like you can't just, it's like going into, you know, a traditional Western medicine doctor and saying, hey, I'm constipated, and they want to give you something. Well, whoa, wait a minute. You know, what's your diet like? What's your, you know what I mean? What's your lifestyle? What's your, you know, it's just, we have to have information on our bodies because we are all so different. And if you want to get to the root of the problem of why the pathogen was able to run wild in your body, that's what has to be done. And I'm not saying that you can't get well if you don't do that, but I can almost guarantee you, you won't stay well. And that's just, you know, the taking many steps forward and a whole lot back. So I love that you shared that with us and how you go about, you know, working with your patients. And we're for sure going to put your links, all your information. Anybody can reach out to you.
Sure.
Now that they know what you do, we'll have all that information in the description of your episode. But if we could quickly, before we close, kind of back up a little bit just to, was it you that kind of eventually kind of figured out how to get yourself well and get you to where you are now? And then if we can kind of touch on that, and then also touch on the emotional journey, just maybe in a short snippet on what that was like processing through it and how much of a role it played in your healing. Because you lost your life, right? You lost your hockey career. Like, your life did a 180 and it wasn't by our choice. So
I think picking the right support around you played a key role as well. Like, sure, you know your body best, right? You know your symptoms, you know what foods feel better. Even like when you're doing supplements, you know what supplements feel better. But you always need guidance from, let's say, like a higher self, right? Whether that's, you know, guidance from a spiritual aspect. I mean, for me, it was, you know, more God and, you know, taking time to just 2 minutes a day to just pray, right? So I felt like I was never alone, right? Nor should you ever feel alone in your journey, right? Sure, you're trying to figure it out, but you have, you know, proper support, right? And it's not like you have a whole host of supports, right? What resonates with you when it comes to those support beams, right? So sure, spiritual aspect was one of mine. Sure, I picked a naturopath that just helped me with guidance, you know, follow-ups and whatnot. Because sometimes when you do too many, you know, in this world, like I'm seeing a functional medicine doctor, I'm seeing a naturopath, I'm seeing a nutritionist, I'm seeing a, you know, another integrated doctor. Now I'm seeing this other naturopath because they focus on something different. It becomes too much, right? And it just creates that, you know, more stress response, right? But yeah, a lot of it had to do with me just slowing down. Like, why, like, where am I racing to with this other practitioner and this, their new protocol? And oh my God, they do this different. And oh my God, here's what they do. Like, stop.
It's overwhelming.
Like, I'm like, I don't care anymore. Like, I'm done with it. Like, I'm just gonna just do nothing for a month. And once I learned how to do nothing, things started to change a bit. Cause it's like, okay, things really like got down to baseline to what you truly actually feel as an individual, which is a lot of people nowadays don't feel that. Even with, you know, people over supplement regardless, and, you know, even healthy people, right? They don't even really know what their true baseline even is anymore, right? So it's like, forget it, calm myself, let's just focus on gratitude, let's just focus on, you know, support from parents, you know, your friends and family, right? And just focus on that. And just doing that changed so much. Then I'm like, okay, now what's the next step, right? So again, working with naturopath, continuing my education, you know, sure, running labs on myself, doing protocols, right? But my protocols never went over, you know, what they prescribed before. Like, hey, here's 15 supplements and herbs to take. I'm like, I don't want to do all that. That's too much. First, from a financial standpoint at that time,
yeah,
sure. But I'm like, I don't think you have to take this many stuff to feel better. Like, it doesn't make sense anymore, right? So I'm like, okay, how do I structure things properly and just go through the core and see how you feel? But again, not taking, like, you know, 10 plus supplements. Like, let's scale it back, right? What does my body actually need right now to support, right? Sure, bring in the supplements, bring in the lifestyle measures, right? Sure, exercise, stretching. You know, I invest in an infrared sauna. Sure, do that twice, three times a week, right? You know, keep on, you know, prayer, you know, listening to just frequencies and just seeing life as it is and just being grateful for that day and that moment and see where things go. And these simple little measures go a long way, right? So then, sure, then you get to a state where, okay, you're feeling better. Maybe it's time to actually treat things specifically because my body is now able to, you know, detox properly, right? And then things went to the next level, right? But I never got rid of those foundations. I never got rid of, like, hey, the gratefulness, hey, what I do from a morning routine, because those are tools that take you a long way. That builds your longevity, yeah. Right? Yeah. And that's very important. But you learn how to structure your life and never say, hey, my life is so busy, I can't do anything for myself. Well, you do. We just got to sit back and organize properly too, right? So when people tell me that now,
because if we don't, our body will shut down. It will stop you in your tracks, right?
It so sure did.
Either take time take time of your wellness, right? Or you're going to be forced to take time for your illness. And it's
you end up spending it right back, right? Everyone's like, I need money, I got to do this. I'm like, I get it. But you pay right back in the long term, right?
Yeah.
So I tell people, like, whether it's like plan from 2 months from now, like schedule's open, like start the process. Yeah. Right? Just people are just thinking you got to start tomorrow. You don't technically have to start tomorrow. You just got to plan to start at some point, right? And start readjusting, you know, your lifestyle, because your lifestyle is what's got you into this turmoil you have today, right?
Right. And I don't know why this just popped into my head, but you know, many of us, right, we've gone on trips, right? We're going to fly, we're going to go to somewhere new, we're going to do all the touristy things. We usually kind of have an agenda, right? Like we have a plan. We've been planning this for, you know, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, a year from now, going on this big vacation, we're going to do all these things on this day. We're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do that. Why don't we do that with our own personal health, right? Like, doesn't that make the most sense? We do it to go out and have enjoyment, but if you don't stop and do it for your own daily life, you're never going to be able to go and enjoy those trips that you want to plan, right? Plan your health. Yeah, that just popped into my head. I'm like, I'm kind of liking that because a lot of people can kind of, you know, I guess resonate with that because we've all gone somewhere and made some plans for something, whether you're having a birthday party for your children, whatever it is, you know, we get an agenda, we make a plan, and we need to do that within our own lives and our own health. And it could be a game changer for you.
Oh, massive. I think it's a massive game changer for everyone. Like, again, these like routines don't have to be hours a day, right?
Yeah.
It could be as simple as 5 minutes of, hey, you know, frequency, listening to specific frequencies, 5 minutes before I get up in the morning or 5 minutes before I get to bed type of thing. And, you know, hey, let's plan 2 workouts a week, right? Like these simple little things is they stack up over time.
They all add up for sure. And
they all add up, right? So it's, you got to take snippets of every lifestyle, food, supplements. You take snippets because in the long-term picture, your barrel decreases, which gives you the more sustainability, immune function, detox capabilities, stress response to actually fully adapt and promote, you know, health span and longevity, right? But everyone's just absolutely go, 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 like, I can't do this, I can't do that. Well, there's going to be a breaking point.
You know, it's when we get slapped in the face with this, right? Or any illness for that matter. It's like it kind of stops us in our tracks, and we need to, it's hard to look at the big picture, right? You got to break it down into baby steps. You know, just like if they're like, oh my gosh, you have to change your diet, you have to do this, you have to do that. Oh my gosh, like that is so much for a non-sick person, right? And then when we're sick and you have to do all this, like, it's so overwhelming. A lot of times we just don't want to do anything. So same thing when it comes to stopping to take a breath, you know, stopping to say a prayer, praise God, stopping to do a little vibration therapy, whatever it is, baby steps. We're not talking spend half your day doing, you know what I mean?
No, yeah. Because, and some people think that, right?
Yeah. And so I just always say, just break it down into baby steps, because baby steps will eventually get you to the finish line. I can promise you that, right?
Yeah. Like, again, we all have, like, you know, stressful times in life. We all have to work, right? But again, like, you know, I'm a practitioner. Like, I work a lot.
Yeah.
But my body is so adapted to it, because I still plan the time for myself.
Yes.
Right. And so this important. Is the time, and no one bothers me. Right. Sorry. It's like going to the gym, right? For that hour, like, you're doing something for yourself, for your health and well-being. Right. Or if you're in a new course, you've planned to take that course in 2 months to do it in 6 weeks. Same idea. Right. So, but people are not committing to that or thinking in that kind of, like, language per se, right? Again, we're not telling people to meditate for an hour. It's great that if you can do that, by all means, but, like, it's more than that, and it doesn't take as much, you know, time out of your day, right? I get it, people have kids too, but still, you can wake up 5 minutes earlier, and your body gets trained in that way, right? And that's all smart the body is, because, again, it wants to be adaptive. It wants, like, routine and structure, but it wants good habits at the same time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, these podcasts obviously are great for the listeners, but it's amazing. And I just love, I don't ever want to stop learning, right? And picking up tips and tricks and stuff, because what you just said, you know, these baby steps, all these little things. And so I take time to do my things I'm supposed to do, right? If I'm going to sit down and do my little vibration for 5 minutes, if one day I, you know, want to do this, I do all that, right? Because I know how important my wellness is to me and to stay well. But what I don't do is I don't stop the rat race life, right? Like, I don't know the boundaries on where to have Tanya time for, you know, 20 minutes. Can I just sit and actually turn the ringer off on my phone? Can I get away from screens? Can I get away from, you know, answering a line person calling me, reaching out for, you know, help? I don't do that well. So this has been a great call for me, a great way to end it, because
it gets tough.
I need that reminder. You know,
we get sucked into it, right?
Yeah.
Because we get like, in our world, we get eager to help now. Yeah. Right. We just want to help. We want to educate. We want to, you know, continue on, you know, obviously podcasting and all that. So it kind of strays us into that department, right?
But
you know, it's like, yeah, we have to take a step back ourselves and be like, there's no time right now. Like, I'm going to get to that call. I'm going to get to their message.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. Like, there's no, like, score clock, like, ticking down.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I'm like, you know, I wish there were 30 hours in a day. And my friends are like, Tanya, then you would be busy 30 hours in the day. Like, you doesn't matter. If I give you more time, you're just going to utilize it to help someone else, or, you know what I mean? It's a learning process. Okay. We're all a work in progress, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just acknowledging that, right?
Yes, that's the first step, is acknowledging it. Yeah,
huge,
I acknowledged it.
Step, right? It's a massive step too, right?
And it really is.
Especially in our world, like, people, you know, do you please 100% of people? No. Not going to happen, right? But if, you know, if you're true to your own self, sure, you're going to attract people and they're going to like you. Sure, there's going to be populations that, you know, don't like your style, or, hey, you didn't call me back in 2 minutes. Like, what's wrong with you? Yeah. And suddenly, <Yeah. laughs> I'm just like, whatever. Like, you know, this is my true self. You know, I'm working on myself at the same time, but I'm also trying to promote, you know, help each individual as they come as well. Right. And that takes skill almost, right? It's like building that skill to just do that and just again, nothing's on like a timeline or, you know, to me, it's always like the scoreboard, like hockey.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I used to play in front of 10,000 people a game, and that brought me to life where it's like, I walk around and I had to be a perfectionist because I thought people were watching me at every given moment. So, you know, you're tense 24/7 because you don't want to make a wrong move. You don't want to make a, you don't want to say anything bad. You don't, if you get called out, like, what do I say? You turn red. Like, things you do in life kind of set you for who you are. Right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, no one judges me on my podcast because my podcast is so real and so raw, and I stumble my words and I lose my train of thought.
The real stuff.
I do all that, you know, but that's the real life. And that is what I want to share. I'm not one of those that edits my podcast. I just don't. Like, I want to give the real and raw and from my heart. And I think that that's the best way to give it and the best advice that the listeners can take from us.
I agree 100%.
Well, Julian, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for your time. And
thank
I'm
you.
So grateful, you know, you found another path in your life besides the hockey journey, right? Like, it's just, we evolve, we pivot during this journey. And I'm sure that what you do, giving back to the community, it fills your heart and soul like it does with me, right? Maybe you're not out there on the ice, but anyways, you're doing amazing things in the Lyme community, and we need people that have lived it, right? Lived it firsthand to be able to share on ways we can get well. So I appreciate you. And again, listeners, go to the description of this episode and you'll find the links to reach out to Julian. Thank you so much. It's been fun.
Thank you. It's been awesome.
I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible. So go to the about of this podcast, scroll down to the bottom and find that donation link. Go ahead and click on there, and anything that you'd like to donate or offer is all just going to go to help to pay towards the studio cost.